The one time I got to interview a legendary play-by-play guy, and I came away as depressed as I've ever been.
And Mitch Spinell may not know his college football, but he knows impersonations. He sounds like the real people.
It's the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Happy 60th birthday to Marissa Tomei.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe she is 60.
Isn't that the worst radio thing you can do? Happy birthday, happies.
That's what we do. We do a lot of anniversaries.
No, we don't. Terrible with anniversaries to the point where I'm like, hey, you know, today's the day, like June 19th and stuff. And you're like, I'm like, yeah, June's like the game seven. And you're like, nah, we don't do anniversaries. I go, okay, never mind.
Oh, we had an old boss that used to get fired up.
Oh, God.
That we didn't do.
Guys, today was the day
returning.
30 years ago, LeBron James had his first hamburger. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't do it today. Like, he would do that. I'm like, we don't care.
But Marissa Tomei, what was the movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman? Is that The Devil Knows You're Dead?
That is Behind the Green Door with Marilyn Chambers.
There is a spicy, spicy scene in that.
Behind the Green Door, absolutely.
I don't know that one.
Well, I have sent you down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Do you want to just talk about old porn, or do we want to bring in Mitch?
Mitch... Does he know that he is in of need? Because he gave us a power ranking at the end of the show for the ages. He gave us his top three college football fight songs. All right. And then somehow, some way, we started talking about the play-by-play voices. Some of the greats. You had Tom Hammonds. Then you morphed into Paul Keels. Kenny, soon you're going to be doing Andrew Siciliano.
I don't know. I don't have an impression of him.
So, bitch, what was the one you said that you had?
I said I had Keith Jackson.
Okay.
All right, Mitch, let's hear your Keith Jackson impression.
Well, first of all, before you get into Keith Jackson, for somebody to know Keith Jackson but not know Rocky Top.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
That is confusing.
Good point. Thank you. How did you not know Rocky Top,
Rocky
Mitch?
Top didn't broadcast the first ever college football game I watched, which was the 2003 National Championship game.
Oh, my God.
How
that
old
was
were
the
you?
First ever game you watched?
When I was five or six, yeah.
You were five or six.
I don't remember the first college football game I watched.
We got a whorehouse in Tiger One.
And you remember that.
That's how many whorehouses he's been in. He forgot which country he was in. He went Tiger One.
All right, so you were that's I actually that's cool. If that's
Thank
your,
you for your service,
if
Owen.
If that's your first game.
I do it all again.
If that's your first game, Mitch, I mean, you didn't have to suffer. Obviously, so people are going to look down on you for that, but as long as it catapulted you into Buckeye fandom for the rest of your life, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, one might say I set my expectations a little too high when I started with that, and it's all been downhill from
Shut
there.
Up. Let's get going here with the impression here. Close our eyes. Let's listen to him.
Do you want me to do a game, or do you want me to just like talk like normal?
Just do an impression.
Start out with the game, and then we're going to do the rest of the podcast interviewing you as Keith Jackson.
We welcome you on into Pasadena, the Rose Bowl between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Washington Huskies here from beautiful Los Angeles, California. It's Keith Jackson here in the broadcast booth alongside Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on color commentary here. Owen Lotteman working production here as well. And gentlemen, it's a tremendous matchup here between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Washington Huskies. That's pretty much what I got.
Mitch, give him a round of applause. That took guts.
That was terrible.
That took a lot of guts.
That was just awful.
I
don't care, Mitch. I think that took a lot of guts to do that.
It took guts.
In this venue.
Nah, I'm kidding,
on
Mitch.
On the emerging podcast scene. Coming cold.
Poor
Mitch. You didn't even go through any of the normal verbal exercises to get rounded up
la,
in the
la,
shade.
La, 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 la. You didn't do that.
Coming in cold and coming off of a cold, too. My voice
That's
is all
true. Oh, That's
know
a
what?
Good point.
Yeah, you got to give him benefit of the doubt. Like, if Jed Wills gets benefit of the doubt over his injuries over the last 5 years.
Mitch, your first thing, if I can give you anything.
Sure.
Because you don't care about any advice we give you, and that's part of the reason we get so frustrated with you. I like that you went for it. If I can get you advice, just because there's times where the impressions are terrible.
Okay.
But every now and then you'll hit on a good impression. Like the one time I did, there's two impressions that stick out to me that were, I got Owen, and I'm so proud. One was Robin Leach. And the other one was when I did the drink your milkshake scene from There Will Be Blood.
Unbelievable.
And Owen's like, you know, I hate doing this. That was really good. I'm like, oh, yeah. It makes you so happy. So keep it up. Keep doing them. Don't shy away.
I'll keep trying, yeah.
Yes, please do. That's wonderful. Because most honestly, when people do impressions, like everybody has an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everybody has a Christopher Walken. Hold they're
no,
all
do
bad.
Do your impression of Lima's dad now and get the
yeah, no, hold on. Whoa, he laughed. I was going to ask him if he knew who Keith Jackson...
I dumped him.
If he knew who
Keith... Thank God you did.
No, you didn't have to dump
him. No, I forgot where he was for a second.
I want to know if he knew who Keith Jackson's partner was for that game in the booth.
That would have been... I can see him, former quarterback for the Chargers.
Yep. Yep, Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts. Jeez, why didn't I remember?
And Dan Fouts, really, really bizarre.
What an interesting career.
Dan Fouts would go in and out of the biggest college football games, and then, oh, hey, here's Dan Fouts in a big NFL game.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we
then he did play-by-play. Remember he did play-by-play?
He did do play-by-play, and it was like a 4 o'clock game. It's in a game like in only 10% of the markets. Like, Dan Fouts is doing an AFC West game. But it was weird because we didn't care back then about who the play-by-play guys were and their color commentators. Now, it's kind of a whole industry about who's doing these games. Awful announcing is ready to pounce on any mistake. You've got, you know, all your media brethren, like... Barrett Sports Media and Marshawn and John Arand.
Andrew Marshand.
Who have been...
that was a great podcast.
Who have been divided.
I wish that they could still do that. I thought that was great. They did talk a lot about soccer and like the media rights for soccer. And I got nothing against soccer, but the media rights. I was like, all right, we're going to fast forward. But it was a good podcast.
Can I tell you real quick? Tony Romo's having a good year again. He came back. I thought he was really bad the last few years.
Interesting.
And I wonder if he's had a flame ignited because of all the Greg Olson talk and then Tom Brady.
Vocally, he's been great. Have you seen his tan?
No. No way.
Oh, yeah, no, I have too. Yeah, he's definitely...
a flame's been ignited.
He looks like a raccoon. He's got the raccoon going, the raccoon eyes.
Oh, the eyes.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Well, he's probably golfing every day and
maybe
whatever. But I think he's made a comeback. See, he's just been very all over the place, and I think he heard a lot of the criticism, and I think he went back to the lab. Ken.
Do you remember when Frank Gifford did play by play?
Because
this is the difference between you and me. You're 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I'm older than you. It's not that way. You're 5 years older than me. I don't. And I went back and I watched because NFL Network had some classic, NFL.com, the NFL Plus, they had some classic broadcasts. And I remember like going back like last year and watching, I don't even know if they're uploaded anymore, some old Monday Night Football games. And it was like with Frank, and I'm like, man, thank God I don't remember this stuff. I wasn't around for this because this is not good.
Well, you didn't care. Like, people didn't care. They're not under the scrutiny.
There are thousands. There was no social media then.
There are thousands, tens of thousands of play-by-play guys now that are all on, like, network TV. Mm-hmm. And back then, that wasn't the case.
Well, I told you, they just built them all in a lab.
Yeah.
They built them all in a factory. There's a manufacturing job that goes out there where they make just play-by-play guys.
I got one for you. So you remember, like, Merlin Olsen?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember him.
Alongside of... Bob
Trumpy?
No, not Bob Trumpy. It was Merlin Olsen because they were on NBC.
Paul Dick McGuire Enberg?
Was it Dick Enberg? Enberg?
Yeah. They had a three-man at one point, and Paul McGuire was the wild man.
He was great on Sunday Night Football.
He was like where Tony Siragusa birthed that. Where's he been, by the
Paul
way?
Paul McGuire used to just...
He's alive, right, Siragusa?
No, Tony Siragusa died, dude.
Are you serious?
God. Yeah.
I swear to God, I was like, I haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, he passed away.
That makes sense.
He passed away, man.
All right.
Usually Lima's making jokes. That was not a joke.
Wasn't. So here's one.
2022.
Do you remember? All right. Wasn't that long ago. Do you remember Bill Walsh? He did games for NBC.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yes.
Do you remember this? He only did
it. No, he passed.
He did it for only like 2 years. And the reason I remember this is I still have to this day, although it's in Chicago, so I don't have it, but my sister has it. The 1989... a game between I have the drive and the fumble, and I have a 1989, a game I watched more than anybody because I was like finally understanding it a little bit. The Broncos and the Browns, where Bernie Kosar just didn't have it because his fingers, he had some contraption on his hand, and they went into Mile High, and it was Dick Enberg and Bill Walsh. I think OJ was on color. I mean, on sidelines.
Yeah.
But Bill Walsh was, I understand why he couldn't do it. He was so frustrated with the football being played.
I remember you telling me this before.
Yeah. He was like, I don't understand why Bud Carson is sending these blitzes. They are not working. Yeah, they're not getting to Elway. He's carving them up. And he got more agitated as the game went on. And I'm like,
you told me this before. This is great.
He can't even really do these games. Because you can't, like,
you can't handle the silliness.
Yeah. Now, Troy Aikman, he gets mad. But I kind of think he does a good job balancing how annoyed he is with stuff.
I have a theory about Troy Aikman that I'm going to share later on. I have a very strong
theory. Skip Bayless already shared that theory.
No, not that. I think it goes into what happened on Monday. I think it goes into what happened on Monday. Troy Aikman will punch you in the face. I think it goes into what happened on Monday.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. There's two theories that I'm working on right now, and both are probably for after the season.
Yeah.
Boy, you got me going on play-by-play, guys. Like, can I tell you one of the saddest days I ever had in radio?
What's that?
I felt so Mitch does a Keith Jackson impression. It was a fine impression. I grew up, everybody who ever wanted to do this or anybody who really loves sports loved Keith Jackson. We had a chance, the 1 year I was with somebody else doing this show, we had a chance to interview Keith Jackson. Well, the other person has been in broadcasting a long time, actually knew Keith Jackson. And Keith Jackson, I think he was living like on the coastline in California. And I was so nervous to talk to Keith Jackson because this is the legend of legends.
Well, yeah,
we're talking to. And he just sounded, this is going to sound terrible, he just sounded like an old man waiting for death.
Oh, no.
And I was so crushed. I was crushed. And we got done with the interview, and the person hosting the show with me at the time was like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, you're not sad about that? He goes, sad about what? And I go, you didn't hear him? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, he sounds so sad. He sounds like an old man waiting to die. And he goes, yeah, Ken, that's how a lot of old men sound. Like, he did not care. He did not care. I was like,
that seems so I was heartless.
Like, I said, I'm just going to say, I said, Kevin, he's living in California. He's living on the coast. He's the legend of legends. He goes, yeah. And now he doesn't have any meaning in his life anymore. He's done doing
this.
He gave, cause Keith Jackson, I remember, I think it was, he went on Dan Patrick's show and he did reviewed his own last broadcast, and he was harsh, really mean to himself, really mean. Like, he was like, I'm embarrassed by this. Like, he was nasty about it. Keith Jackson was, about his own broadcast. To the point where I was like, oh, is he going overboard just so people are like, hey, he'll be tough on himself? No, he was clearly serious. And I just was like, man, there's like, you're in your final years on Earth. Who knows if Keith Jackson's soul is living as a 6-year-old boy somewhere in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I have no idea what's in the great beyond, but I'm like, man, for all we know, this is your one shot you have at it. You lived an incredible life. You're in the military. I don't want to come back as an animal. I'm not doing animal
stuff.
Not
even a hippo?
No, I'm not being a hippo. I don't want to be a giraffe.
Fearsome creatures.
Aren't they
the
pretty
world.
Badass?
Yeah.
No, they're just. Yes. They got that extra long, weird tooth that looks like a branch. I don't want that.
Just saying, no one's messing with a hippo.
Yeah.
With a hippo. But
if you're going to come back as one, you ought to pick a hippo.
All right, top three animals you'd like to come back as if there's reincarnation. Dun 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 dun. All right, number one, bear.
Okay.
Grizzly bear.
Well, the bears, they sleep all day, right?
Grizzly bear.
Yep.
Number two.
All night, sleep all day.
What's your number one? All right, I'm going to do it. I'm fine. Grizzly bear.
Koala bear.
Number two.
Bear.
Number two, I would like to come back as a Canadian goose because I'm protected and I can bother anybody I want to.
Okay. Baylor bear.
Number three, dolphin.
Oh, no.
A dolphin.
Because they're the only other
really
species
smart,
that
right?
has sex for pleasure.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
It's been proven dolphins have sex for pleasure.
Which human had to figure that out?
I don't know, man. Who is the one, I hate to be Jim Gaffigan here, who is the one that figured out the male seahorse is the one that gives birth? How does that happen? Well, somebody had to spend way too much time with seahorses. That's the beauty about having 7 billion people on Earth. Someone's going to be obsessed with something.
It, right?
Yes. I don't want to come back as any of that, but going back to Keith Jackson, I was just so sad to hear that. Because I'm like, you're a legend. Bask in your own legacy. Bask that there's a 29-year-old person who wants to hear from you, who wants to lap up every bit of information that you can give them in this 10-minute period you're giving them. And I was crushed. It bothered me for the rest of the week. I mean, we did that on a Wednesday. I wasn't right until Sunday. I felt terrible.
Kenny, I saw one of the local affiliates, I think, did something with Joe Tate towards the end. And, you know, Joe Tate, he wanted his privacy.
Yeah. He was still doing stuff with the radio station in Elyria. He was doing
Mount Union football.
I knew he was doing Mount Union football, but I remember he was retired, and some local affiliate caught up with him, and I think they tried to give him an award or something, and he just seemed like Joe Tate, like, this is not going to change my life in any way. I'm not going to be enamored with this. Thank you. Like, he was being nice. But it was almost like, hey, the minute the cameras are off, get the hell off my property.
Do you remember his last call?
No, I don't.
I remember his last call. I was in Reading, Pennsylvania. I think we got rained out that night, and I was like, great, I can hear his last call. I heard his last call, I started crying. When he said, have a good life, everybody.
Yeah,
bawling. Okay. I was bawling my freaking eyes out in a hotel room in technically Wyomissing, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And then I went over. Do you want to hear a crazy story? Get done. Olive Garden's still open. This is good. You're going to love this. I wipe away tears. The legend, Joe Tate, has stepped away. This is what I want to do. I'm a play-by-play guy at the time, right? The legend, Joe Tate, steps away. The Olive Garden is still open. I used to get the... what's the one with chicken marsala?
Ooh.
I order a chicken marsala to go on the phone. I go over to pick it up. It was across the parking lot. I go there, and as I'm walking, the rain had stopped. It's well lit. It's a well lit area. As I'm walking, there is this guy, and he's like got a server shirt on, sitting in his car, and he is staring daggers at me. Like, he's like, he doesn't want me to see him, and he's not moving. Well, he looked like a mannequin. And so I'm walking, and I could not take my eyes off him. I could not take my eyes off him, because I'm like, why is this guy staring at me? Why is this guy staring at me? Why is he sitting in a car by himself staring at me? And all of a sudden, a woman's head comes up out of his lap. And I just started laughing. I go, you didn't want me to see it. And then I saw her, and she definitely was wearing an Olive Garden, like, uniform.
Stepped out for a little bit.
And I go, that's you two kids. That's beautiful. I didn't say nothing to them. I just walked in and got my chicken marsala and left. They were gone by the time I came back. They were gone. I was like, God, you're in the building, home?
Your family. When you're in the car.
Well, you don't want to be that close to family. I'll tell you that right now. But I remember that about that night. Chicken marsala was great. I remember the hotel. Boy, those were good times, man, on the road by myself. I wouldn't go out with the baseball players because I was terrified I was going to lose my job. I was actually very quiet, and I did not really want to associate with them, and they thought I was weird and even mean because I didn't want to associate with them. Because it was the fear of God put into me about don't go out there with them, because if they get in trouble, you're the one who pays the fiddler.
Oh, yeah,
and I was
you do.
Like, yep, you're right. You're right.
You know,
I'm not going to do it.
I'm kind of bummed I missed out on that opportunity.
And there were guys who could do some partying from what I heard on that team.
So, you know, when you want to do broadcasting in college, you know, you're open to anything. I was open to just about anything. I thought I wanted to be a talk show host. Mm-hmm. I thought that was number one. But
so I wanted to be a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, well, I was definitely open to play-by-play because I love basketball and I wanted to do play-by-play basketball. And I got to do that in college. But as I saw guys that had come through our program at Ohio State that were toiling in the minor leagues, I was like, I can't do this. I can't live like that. Even though looking back, that would have been awesome. There would have been so much fun. You don't want to be doing it for 10 years.
I was.
But that experience of getting out of whatever house or getting out of your college situation and just traveling with the team, of course, they make you do everything now.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
You don't get to just do play-by-play. You're writing the game story after the game. You're writing the preview before the game. You're doing videos. You're doing stuff. I mean, it's not a 24/7 job, but it's a lot of hours.
Well, I would go over I did play-by-play for two seasons. I was 21 years old when I first started. I mean, it was like a kid being let in a candy store every time I went to a ballpark. Baskin, by the way, Baskin remembers me doing play-by-play. Because he came down and would do, because we had a couple of guys on rehab, and Baskin would come down and do stories. And he'll tell you I was pretty good. He'll be the first one to tell you Baskin will. Baskin's such a great guy. I love him. He thinks I bust.
By the way, they'll never do that.
Stones,
local affiliates don't go do that anymore.
No, they don't.
Like, let's go check in on the guy.
No.
Nobody cares.
No.
That's just not something they do.
So I would do play-by-play, and I would go on the road, and I would be in these play. I'm like, I can't believe I'm in Binghamton, New York, at this stadium. I mean, it was like going to an amusement park.
I love that
every
me and
day.
You have been to Binghamton,
yeah,
at that stadium,
yes,
a million times.
Yes. And there were guys, and I would meet these guys, and I was so excited to be there. And I thought that they would love this job too, and they were so freaking miserable. I told you about the guy who was hungover from Binghamton. So many got out. There was a couple guys who were still, I think Mike Antonellis still does. I think he still does, like, do they have Paw Sox baseball somewhere in, like, Worcester, Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the AAA guy there, and he's done a few Red Sox games. Justin Shackle.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, he probably should have got the Yankees job. He's a young guy, but okay. You make your decision. That's fine. Whatever.
Dave Sims.
I remember him. Yeah, they got Dave Sims back.
Welcome
but,
back.
I know, I don't really, I've only ran into him. He probably wouldn't remember me, Justin Shackle, but I thought he was really good. I remember he was doing the Trenton Thunder with him and a guy named Jay Bingham, if I'm not mistaken there. And they were both really good. And he was very positive. He was very positive. And then still a guy that I know to this day who's a really good play-by-play guy, Mike Farron, who's on MLB Network Radio. He was sensational. He's still sensational. He's still great. But yeah, that's basically all I have to say about that. Are you guys ready to go or something? Because it seems like Owen's.
I'm watching the
up.
1989
AFC
Championship
game. I'm sorry.
Game.
Oh. Well, no, we got coaches coming up here in like 3 minutes.
Dan Reeves is wearing a suit in this game.
Yeah, and they keep showing Pat Bowlen and Art Modell in the owner's boxes the entire time.
Basketball coaches got to go back to suits.
Yeah, I'm sick
go
of
back
this.
To suits. Go back to suits. Go back to suits.
Can we talk about this tomorrow?
Yeah, I miss suits. I miss looking good. Pat Riley with his hair slicked back, looking like he was
like bums.
Looking like a Don. It's time to go back to
Kenny
suits, guys.
Kenny Atkinson would look like Pat Riley right now
because
wore a suit.
When you did like coaches versus cancer, when you did coaches versus cancer, like you wore sneakers. So there was like a reason for it.
Right.
Now you're just wearing sneakers. Now, like, you wear a polo maybe or something that says it, but it didn't have the same type of like, oh, it's coaches versus cancer night here. Okay, I get it. Like, it's not that anymore. Like, wear suits, man. That'd be awesome.